This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Welcome to Is This Real Life? A Bravo podcast that relates our favorite shows to our own lives and the world around us. I'm your host, Mandy Slutsker. Let's get to it. Hi, everyone. I hope you had a wonderful week. There is so much going on. We finished The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City season 4. We've got Vanderpump Rules premiering this week. We've got Summer House coming in a few weeks. There's so much happening. It's all happening. I really am looking forward to the season of Vanderpump Rules, but I am a little worried that the cast has already shared so much about what happens in season 11 that we won't be surprised. You know, they're a younger-ish cast compared to some of the Housewives cast, although they're getting up there in age, but a lot of them have podcasts, they're constantly in the media, they're doing interviews, and I just feel like we always know what's happening with them. And whenever the Housewives of Salt Lake City are done, you know, airing, I don't know what they're up to, unless Heather's on a book tour, right? And I kind of want to get back to that. I've been kind of longing, sort of nostalgic to not having things spoiled, especially after this incredible season of Salt Lake City, that I'm a little nervous that there's not much that we're going to be shocked by. But you know what? I'm looking forward to it anyway. A couple of thoughts on some of the shows that I realized I didn't get a chance to share. One is on Salt Lake City, I was just very glad that Mary apologized to Heather for inadvertently body shaming her, saying that the Gucci corset that Heather wears into confessional, which looks incredible, by the way, that when she said, I don't think Gucci makes that in a size 14, she said she didn't mean it in a negative way. And that after it aired, when she was on Watch What Happens Live, she ended up calling Heather and apologizing, saying, I really didn't mean it in that way. And I think that really matters. And it does show like a sense of, I don't know what, but of Mary that I didn't think she had to be able to just call Heather up and apologize. So I do think Mary's going to come back, especially since they got rid of Monica for next season. And it'll just be interesting to see if she's actually going to become part of the group. It seems like she likes Angie K. She's friends with Meredith. You know, let's see how things go. On The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, I loved one of the first scenes where Avi is with Sutton getting ready for their trip to Spain. And when Sutton is giving Mercer's ashes to Avi and saying, we need to put this in like a nice box and stuff, Avi's like, oy vesmir, which is Yiddish. And he's like, this is against my religion, which is kind of true. I mean, Jews don't believe in cremation, so we believe in burying the body whole. But I just thought that whole thing was so funny. I really enjoy watching them all packing with their assistants. We kind of get a glimpse into what life is like. And I love that Garcelle traveled with glam. It feels like it's so funny, but they do it for the show and they dress for each other. And I don't know. I'm enjoying it. It's part of what makes Beverly Hills, Beverly Hills. And on Potomac this week, I loved the mother-daughter brunch where Karen was with Raven and Giselle was with Grace. And it's really nice to see Karen and Giselle getting along. You know, Brian, my guest, and I go into some details about some of the problems we think exist on Potomac, but that was a lot of fun to watch. for Miami. Guys, I've had so much going on with work this week that I fell asleep watching Miami and I wasn't able to watch it ahead of recording with Brian, which is disappointing because he recaps Miami for Vulture and I would love to talk to him about it. But alas, I was able to catch up on it today before recording this. And I'm loving the season of Miami. I love their looks. Like when they all showed up at dinner with bright colored dresses, it's so fun. And Mexico City looks incredible. I haven't traveled there, but I really want to. I've heard so many amazing things about it. I think this is going to be an incredible trip. It was interesting that Larsa decides to pick a fight with Alexia just right from the get-go, saying, you know, I don't like that last year you said that I only bring you guys to events where I'm promoting my products. You know, I don't have a Todd. What is she talking about? She has a Scottie Pippen who, while she's not married to him anymore, he gave her like 50% of everything he had in the divorce. So she still has that money. It's not like she got divorced and was starting at square one. And we also don't know how much money Alexia has from Todd. I feel like most of Alexia's money comes from her other, like, her marriage to Herman and, you know, being on the show before and working. And, you know, I mean, it's not as if they are, you know, struggling financially. Maybe they're struggling to keep up with the lifestyle that they used to have before, but no one's really struggling, except for maybe Kiki. She makes it sound like she's struggling. Anyways, it was such a dumb argument, and I feel like Larsa's just picking really stupid fights, and I can't tell why. I think she just likes to be in conflict because she knows that's needed for the show, and you know, she's going on some podcast and still pissed at Gertie for calling her fake. And Gertie's like, I'm about to start chemotherapy. It's just, it's not a good look. And plus, I don't know, she is fake. Like, why can't she take a loss? Like, why can't she admit when she's wrong? I really want to know her psyche. Is it that when she was married to Scotty, when they would fight, like she could never be wrong? So now maybe she was always wrong, right? He always was like, you're wrong. So now she's like, I can never be wrong. Like why does she do what Marisol says, which is to like stick in her heels and brace for an argument and just fight regardless of whether or not she should? I don't fully understand it. Another thing I have trouble understanding is Alexia and Marisol's relationship with Adriana. It's as though they have just accepted her for who she is and sometimes even seem to enjoy her. Like Alexia, when they're going to this bizarre art dinner where there's men that aren't wearing many clothes and they have rabbit ears. It's a whole other story for another day. But when they go into the room and all the art is along the walls, Alexia turns to Adriana and says, oh, you're going to love this. Because Adriana, for those of you who didn't watch the earlier seasons, worked in an art studio and was really into like high-end art. And I don't know. And then Adriana is being kind to Marisol when she was overheating. It's just this very interesting dynamic because they really seem to be so pissed at her at the end of last season. And now it's as if they've kind of accepted the role that she plays on the show and know that she's needed for the show. So they've kind of turned down their annoyance at her. Anyways, it is quite an ensemble cast. I absolutely love it. Was sad that there wasn't Dr. Nicole in this episode much because she is one of my absolute favorites. And I'm excited that she's going to be coming in after dinner and will be there for the rest of the trip. All right, guys, I have one of my absolute favorite guests on this week, Brian Moylan. You all know him because he's the author of The Housewives, The Real Story Behind The Real Housewives. He also manages The Real Housewives Institute Bulletin on Vulture. He's just so hilarious and so fun. I love chatting with him. So I'm sure you guys will enjoy our talk. As always, if you enjoy the podcast, go ahead, give it a 5-star rating. If you have any constructive criticism or anything you want to share with me, feel free to do that via DM at Mandy Slutsker on Instagram. Okay, we'll take a quick break and then back with Brian. Hi, everyone. I am here with Dame Brian J. Moylan. He's the founder and the president of the Housewives Institute, the Housewives Institute Bulletin that comes out. He's the author of the best-selling book, The Housewives, The Real Story Behind the Real Housewives, and my favorite person that I got to meet in person at BravoCon. How are you doing?
Oh, my God. I'm good. Like, because we have spent time together doing this, it didn't even occur to me that we hadn't like met IRLs until we hung out at BravoCon.
I know. I was like, that was so fun.
Oh my God, it was so fun. Are we going next year?
I think so. I mean, it was just the most fun. I will do it differently next year. I will sleep. So, yeah. Like, I'm not going to go to all the evening events and everything. That was too much, especially that night out at a club.
Yeah. Which was not worth the money.
It was not worth the money, and my feet hurt, and I basically got quite ill after BravoCon, because I was it was fine, right?
Yeah.
Like, but
I was wrecked for, like, a week.
Do you want to know the grossest thing? My listeners are going to like,
yes.
So I got a cold, right? I like tested for COVID. Wasn't COVID. It wasn't the flu. It was just a cold. And I thought, you know, I'm working. I like the day after BravoCon, I'm like, okay, I'm going to go to work on that Tuesday. And I'm so congested. It's hard for me to even think. So I use a neti pot.
Yeah.
But have you ever been so congested that like it won't work? Like you're like, water.
I have never used a neti pot because they terrify me.
I know.
Like that sounds awful.
And so it didn't work and it went like straight into my stomach because you know you're okay. And then I threw up because
yeah.
And then I was just like, okay, the universe is telling me not to work today.
Mandy, go to bed.
I was one of those things where I was like, Mandy, you're disgusting. Why did you even do that? So gross, I don't know why I'm talking about this.
The same thing happened to me. Well, I didn't get sick after BravoCon, but like I was going to all these events. I was up, I went out one night with friends, and you know, and I had a great time, but then by Sunday afternoon I was dead. But then I had to like write you know, and like do my job and like write a newsletter and like all this shit. And so, oh my God, I was wrecked. And I had like all this shit to do that week. And I was like, girl, I don't know how I'm going to get any of this done. But yeah, it was rough. But I'm excited to do it again next year.
Same. I'm totally going. I spent basically 2 full days in bed after. Just like.
I mean, 100% work it. I mean, we should take off Monday and Tuesday. Sorry, we're calling in Bravo.
Maybe even stay in Vegas so I don't have to fly, that I can just like sleep for 24 hours. No, I don't know what to do.
Do not stay in Vegas.
I know. I mean, and then I wouldn't be on a flight home with Ashley and Candace again. So.
Exactly. So there's that too. Oh my God. Yeah. BravoCon. God bless it. Did you see Shep at all? Because he was getting heat at the reunion for how messy he was at BravoCon.
I heard about other people that had been at Bravapaloozas with him and that had come across him in casinos, and he didn't look great. I was also at one of the Watch What Happens Lives where I believe he was there.
Yeah.
It was the Charming House Rules. And, you know, he didn't look great.
Yeah. I saw him in the like all talent room, like talking to Andy, and I talked to him, and it was like Sunday afternoon and he was drunk, which I thought was a little excessive, but he seemed to have it together.
That was like the one moment he was like less drunk than the rest of the time.
Yeah, maybe. Like maybe he like came up for air on Sunday afternoon before going back in. I don't know. But yeah, I'm surprised with all those Bravo people. He's the only one who behaved that terribly.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, he really, people were like, he's rough. he was mean to fans. Yeah. He was unhappy about being there. He was bitching about everything, and he couldn't, you know, I think he's been open about he struggles with alcohol and I think other substances. And I think he just needs to stay away from them.
Do you think that Bravo has a duty of care to say to some of these people like Shep, girl, you need to get off television. Like, we're not bringing you back because this is doing bad things for you.
I don't know, because I think that's a really hard one, because how do you know how bad someone is? I think maybe this is a more obvious one, but with, for example, other mental illness, it can be quite silent. So how are you supposed to always know? I find that it just is really hard. The only time I've ever really felt that is it was a season of Below Deck where there was that girl with the red hair and Kate Chesney, they were giving her a tough time, and she really seemed to be struggling, truly struggling mentally with like reality. I also think Scary Island was another time where I'm like, something is very, very wrong. With Shep, he has been doing this for years. Right.
Yeah. And well, and also it's like, regardless of what they say, they do encourage bad behavior, if not silently, like tacitly, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But they also support people when they say they won't drink. Right. When like when Lala got sober, Carl got sober, and they've told people. I think the only time I feel like this has happened was with Kim Richards, where they were like, you're not coming back. You need to get some
like
help.
You need to. This is unhealthy for you. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think Kim is right where we need her right now. Like showing up at dinner parties, coming by the house, you know, showing up with her markers to draw on people's walls.
I'd honestly have her draw something on my wall. I'd pay her.
100%. At least like, oh my God. If someone gave me a Kim Richards original for Christmas, it'd be the best gift I ever got. I'm telling you right now. I wonder if I could buy one through Cameo. Kim Richards, please make me a little mural. Thanks, love, Brian.
What if she ends up doing what George W. Bush does, where he like paints pictures of veterans and people's pets? Like, you can just send him a picture of your dog and he'll paint it.
I mean, like Kim Richards, like Cameo by Paint, like Kim Richards do your portrait. I mean, sign me up.
I'd get a portrait of Stassi, my dog. Sign me up.
By Kim Richards. That would be like the most Bravo thing possible. And then next year at BravoCon, I want you to get a tattoo of the portrait of that Kim Richards drew of Stassi, your dog.
I've never had tattoos. I'm quite scared of needles. So that's probably not going to happen. But it may be on my ass, right? Like a Bubba tattoo.
Yeah.
Like a place I wouldn't see and that probably wouldn't hurt that bad.
I know of two people at least who got Bravo tattoos at BravoCon in Las Vegas last year.
What? I kind of love that.
Yeah. One is a boy who I met like randomly. And one is a friend of mine that I made on vacation with Vicky when I went on vacation with Vicky for my book. Her name's Lindsay. She lives in Lake Tahoe. Hey, Lindsay. She's the best. And she's crazy. And she got a Bravo tattoo.
I love that. Wait, was it an It's All Happening tattoo?
No, she got like the like word bubble outline, like the square Bravo with the, you know what I mean?
That's cute.
But it doesn't say Bravo inside it. It's just like the outline. Yeah. It's like as tasteful a Bravo tattoo as you could possibly get. Totally. You know?
Totally. All right. Time to dive into a more serious topic. Carolyn Manzo has sued Bravo over sexual harassment claims about what happened when they were filming Ultimate Girls Trip in Morocco and everything that went down with Brandy. I feel like I don't know how to feel about this because there's so little information that has come out.
Yes.
If she was sexually harassed, I feel terrible that that happened, right? But I just don't
absolutely
know what's, it almost seems like a PR campaign on her end.
Well, I was, so this came out, and so Caroline is suing Bravo, NBC Universal, and the production company that makes the Ultimate Girls Trip. She's not suing Brandy because their contracts don't allow them to sue the other women on the show for things that happen on the show. But also, butler, yes. That's the word I was looking for. The butler from UGT2 is suing for sexual harassment too, saying Brandy sexually harassed him when he was drunk. And part of Caroline's suit is saying, like, you knew this woman was a drunk and a sexual harasser because of Ultimate Girls Trip 2. You never should have hired her for this. And then I got, you know, assaulted. And so you're culpable. So the point I was going to make to your PR campaign is, this reminds me of when I used to work at Gawker, and Peter Thiel was going around looking for people to sue Gawker to drive them out of business, which he ultimately did. And somebody met with me, yeah, and was like, do you have anything you could sue them for? And so to me, this seems like maybe somebody with a brand of alcoholic beverages and a very active TikTok account might be trying to get people to sue Bravo as part of some kind of reckoning.
I could see that. The other indication is that Carolyn Manzo is paying that butler's legal fees. That butler was not planning on filing a lawsuit, but was encouraged to by Carolyn. So not that I don't believe that something happened, but she does seem to be laying the groundwork for a story. And
yes.
I guess, and I know it's like, believe all women, believe all victims. I just have such difficulty with her because she is okay with violence. She set her sister up to be potentially killed. I mean, she was beat up. She had a hitman. Like, she hired a hitman. And so for me, it's
Did she hire the hitman?
I thought she was involved in it.
I thought... I don't think she was involved, but she did submit letter, like, because
they got character witness.
Dina's ex-husband is her husband's brother.
Right.
And so Caroline sided with the brother-in-law against Dina and put in like letters of reference and stuff. I don't think she was involved. But like you said, I mean, she was there at the Posh Fashion Show when, what's her name? Danielle Staub got attacked, you know? So, yeah. And the hard thing is, we know that Brandy is up to no good. And she likes to push the buttons. And she likes to go too far. And she likes to be edgy and provocative. But do I think for a minute that if Brandy thought she was really... sexually, that Caroline was having a really hard time with it, would she keep going? I don't think so. But do I believe that whatever happened traumatized Caroline? I also believe that to be true.
Yeah, I do believe,
if that makes sense,
that if production, like if Brandy has evidence that production was like, hey, you should try doing this, then like production should get in trouble. I feel like if they're trying to produce too much, you don't need to produce Brandy. She just does shit.
No. She just does shit. And I don't know that limiting the amount of alcohol that Brandy has is going to keep her from doing shit.
Exactly.
You know?
But
then I guess it gets to, like, should you have hired Brandy in the first place? But unless she did sexually harass that guy during Ultimate Girls Trip 2, which she might have, I don't know. We didn't see it, but there's plenty that didn't happen that we didn't see. Then, yeah, that would be an indication of that. But yeah, Brandy's done a lot of stupid shit, but up until that point, she had never sexually harassed somebody. But, you know, but I also always say about Brandy is she talks a lot of shit, but she never lies. And so I don't think that she would make things up about production or anything like that.
That's how I feel. Like she does push the line though, and everyone has a different idea of where the line is between joking and between harassment, especially maybe between girlfriends. So, you know, I also just feel bad that Brandy has, like, her stress level has been so bad that she's had this, like, facial swelling. Yeah. And that's very real. She's posted photos of it. It's not botched filler. She's having, like, a stress reaction because of too much cortisol in her body. And, you know, if she's being accused of something that she feels like she didn't do, or that she feels like she was just doing what she was told by her bosses, then, you know, maybe there does need to be a little bit of a reckoning.
Well, and I, you know, she had that long drawn out lawsuit with Joanna Krupa too, which cost her like hundreds of thousands of dollars. And I wonder if you added up what Brandy has made from appearing on Housewives shows / Watch What Happens Lives and the amount she's paid in legal bills because of those appearances. I wonder like where that equals out, you know?
Wait, do they get paid extra for Watch What Happens Live appearances?
No, they don't. But she said something on a Watch What Happens Live, which is what Joanna Krupa got mad about.
She said that she had a smelly, I don't even know,
vagina.
What, yeah. Just like, and when they were at a restaurant, she sent over fish to where Joanna was sitting. There's a really good.
It's terrible, but it's hilarious. I love Brandy. I'm sorry. She's bad news from start to finish, but I love her. I think she's great television. I never want her to go away. I hope that this isn't true and that she didn't sexually harass Caroline Manzo, but I also hope that Caroline Manzo finds peace. So,
Oh my gosh. There's a really good Bravo Docket episode on this very particular lawsuit. And there's all the details in there, which is why I know she sent fish over at the restaurant. And Joanne is a vegetarian. She's like, I don't even know this. Anyways. Okay.
That makes it even funnier.
I know.
Sorry. I'll be serious now. No, we're smelling vagina.
Well, okay. So getting into the whole blaming of production. Let's take a jaunt over to Salt Lake City, because what I think is the biggest thing that came out of the third episode was the fact that pretty much all of the women were in agreement that production and someone in production knew about Monica's involvement with Reality Vantes. What do you make of that?
I don't believe that is the case. And because of what Andy said, if we knew about it, we wouldn't tell her, or we wouldn't have hired her. And I believe that to be true too, because Bravo as an enterprise is very cautious and they don't want anything upsetting the apple cart. They don't want anything killing the golden goose. You know, they are not going to mess around with, oh, well, let's see how it goes. You know what I mean? And also, I loved Heather's monologue where she was talking about, if you don't put space between us and the trolls, women are going to stop signing up to do this. And you know, especially women of a certain caliber, like you wouldn't get another Jenna Lyons if she thought like a Monica could show up. So I believe all that. And then I read an article. Kate Arthur from Variety did an interview with Heather. Yeah, with Heather Gay. And it was great. And it was not just about the reunion. It was also about the finale and how it all played out and how production worked with it. Like a lot of great behind the scenes stuff. And Heather said when she sat down with the showrunner about this call to explain what was going on, she was like, Monica's Reality Vantes. And this woman was like, what are you talking about? And Heather had to go like all the way back and explain all of this to the showrunner to make it make sense about why she was so upset and why she wanted to pursue the story. And she said that like this woman gave no indication that her or anyone else on production had an idea of who Monica was before they hired her. So I have to believe that that is true.
Monica, what do you think? I guess I don't know what to think. I kind of am inclined to be with you. I feel like Monica gives a lot of sort of like half truths or line by omission, where she might have made some sort of comment to one particular person during casting that you couldn't take as fully knowing anything, right? Like she may have said, "Oh, I was involved in the videotape, in leaking the videotape of Jen screaming and throwing things at Koa." But that doesn't mean she was involved in the entire like burner account. It just means that she was happened to be in the room when the harassment of Koa was happening. So like I feel like she always says things, and then when you say it back to her, she's like, "Well, I didn't say that." You know, like the FBI.
I said something
you.
Slightly different.
It's like, you implied that the FBI told you to stalk Jen Shah to find out whether or not she was drunk driving. What they actually did was, if you have any further information, please let us know.
Please let us know. Right. And she was like, "That means
I should.
I have been deputized by the FBI
to stalk people." And oh, by the way, it's not stalking because I just drove by four times in one day.
Right. Right. And like, my favorite thing was about the security cameras.
Yes.
Where she was like, "Well, Jen had me install them in my name. Like, that makes it okay for you to look at somebody else's security footage in their home?" Like, I don't know. That's kind of crazy, Monica.
Insane. And the fact that she watched it and then remembered things about the women, and the fact that Lisa Barlow put it together, she put two and two together. She was like, "Wait, I've only said this to Jen Shah," and then figuring out that Monica had access to Jen Shah's camera footage in her home. And then Monica was like, "Oh, I know that you hang out with Snoop Dogg." And Lisa's like, "I've never said that to you." And it probably took her the whole 6 months between when that filmed and when they had the reunion to put together how it was possible that Monica would know something she only told Jen Shah.
I could just picture right now, like, Lisa Barlow's in the shower, like lathering herself up, and like the light bulb goes on and she's like, John, get in here. Get in here. I figured it out."
It's so wild. That part scared me. It really scared me. It made me feel like Monica is not operating in reality.
No. And the hard thing about Monica is we now know that she lies about things big and small. She lies about everything. And so you can't believe anything she says, first of all. But also she does that Donald Trumpian thing where it's like you bring up all this other shit to muddy the waters that may or may not be true, and like blaming other people of doing the thing they accused you of. And so then you have you have no idea what's happening, and you can't like combat against it. And then you're like questioning reality. And that's why Monica had to go. I was very disappointed in Monica's performance at the reunion.
That made me realize that she's someone who can only perform when she, I don't know, it's like she had to think through all of her performance. She can't do things on the spot. So
yes,
that was very shocking to me, that she just didn't have any way to argue with the women other than insulting them about their looks.
Yes.
I mean, that was literally the only thing that she had. She
and being
had nothing
old
else.
And being, yeah. Yes. And that was the thing is, you know, Monica came at them with like TLC Bad Girls Club bullshit. You know what I mean? Like, and everyone's like, "Oh, Monica's so great. Monica's so great." But when she finally got confronted, she couldn't fight. Like, Angie K put up a better fight than Monica did. And Monica had all that time to think of some reason, to think of some angle, to figure something out, to put something in that burn book other than like bullshit photocopies and like stupid jokes. And she didn't do any of it. And sorry to see you go, Monica, but not really.
Yeah, she just didn't add up. It didn't make sense. What I think is that she's just created in her mind that she is always a victim. And so she was, and that people who she goes after deserve it. right? So you can't be upset at her because she is taking her anger out on people who deserve bad things to happen to them. And she's not realizing that what I didn't understand until this episode was the harassment part. Like, it wasn't just that she posted things like, oh, this is all the nasty stuff Jen said about Heather. It's that she's going to tag Heather 10 times a day.
Yep.
Every day.
Yep.
For a year. I mean, that's insane. That is actual harassment, that every time she's getting a ping on her phone, a reminder of what her friends said about her that is really nasty, that includes terrible phrases about transgender people, about her weight, about all kinds of stuff, her appearance, and it's over and over and over and over. And that part is, I don't think most of us understand, because we've not been victims of online harassment, what it does to you mentally and how it breaks you down. And all of these women have experienced, everyone who's been a housewife has have experienced it. You know, I bet Anna Marie is getting it really bad right now. I bet Taylor from Southern Charm is getting it really bad right now, because we are part of us is like Monica, thinking that we are going after the bad guys and they deserve the kind of online harassment that we're giving them as viewers. And we tell ourselves it's no big deal to say mean things in their comments or to send them mean DMs, but it's fucking crazy. It's fucking crazy.
It's totally crazy. And, you know, I talk plenty of shit about housewives in my recaps, in my book, like everywhere, but I don't tag them. I don't, you know what I mean? And so if you want to, if PK were to Google the things I've said about him over the years, I mean, there's a treasure trove of very creative insults that I have called the man. But like, he has to go looking for that. You know what I mean? And so if you go looking for that, you get what you find. But like, I don't know why these people need to put it in the comments, why they need to tag them. It's like, just tell your friends that Taylor sucks. Just, you know what I mean? Like, just write a tweet that says this person is awful and send it to the world. Like, that person doesn't need to see it. Like, that's crazy. I don't understand that behavior in people.
It's very weird. People do it. They feel like they're being vigilantes. Like, they're correcting what is wrong in the world by giving it to someone who deserves it. And this idea where we like come up with someone who is deserving of hate or deserving of mean words. And that's what Monica has done. She's like, Jen is deserving of all bad things. But really, she went after Jen, not because Jen was scamming old people, because Jen was treating her
was yelling at her friends.
Yeah, it had nothing to do with Jen scamming the elderly. But that's not, they didn't know that.
Well, and that's what her defense kept being like, you're more mad at me than you were at Jen for scamming old people. And it's like, no, those are two totally different things. Like, Jen was our friend or an acquaintance, whatever, and so we believed her. But you're just some fucking random lady that we don't know until now. And but to me, when the finale aired before the reunions, there were a lot of people on Twitter being like, oh, it doesn't seem like what she said was that bad. Like, I can't even tell from the account, blah, blah, blah. But what I saw was when Heather calls them all out to the beach, she says, Monica's reality Von Teese. And every one of those women knew immediately exactly who she was and why that was terrible. And I think that shows you how bad this account had to be, that of all the accounts talking shit about these women, they all immediately knew the name of this one account. And so it had to be like the worst one. And so to me, that was really telling of, you know, even if what she didn't say was so bad, quote unquote, it did rise to the level of really negatively impacting these women's lives.
I mean, I'd be pissed if someone tagged me like 15, 20 times a day in something that was even positive about myself. I'd be like, why are you sending me this?
Exactly.
Like, I've seen it. It's done.
Yes.
Stop.
I mean, when my friend Chris sends me two memes in a row, I'm like, girl, I haven't even had a chance to look at the first meme.
Wait, is this Chris Murphy? Or a different Chris?
No, it's not. Okay. I do love Chris. I wish Chris Murphy would send me memes.
He's so funny. people sometimes write to him because they get confused that he's not the senator, even though Senator Chris Murphy has like a very clear, like, I'm a senator account. Anyways.
Right.
Okay. What I need to know is how you feel about this black eye reveal that was kind of not a reveal. Like, we hear Jen Shah gave me the black eye. We think we're getting footage that we've never seen before. All it is Jen coming to and talking to Heather. That's all we see. We don't see. Right.
Well,
anything.
I knew there wouldn't be footage because if there was footage, they would have shown.
Yes. But then why show nothing?
Right. Well, I did like where they showed that thing of them talking and them being like, we couldn't understand that. And Heather being like, yeah, this is what it said. But see, I think that was to all handle very well. First of all, kudos for Andy, who went way harder on Heather than I thought he would. And, you know, asked her a lot of tough questions. And I think that was great, especially about when she was going around with all these cockamamie theories about production and whatever and how damaging that could have been. I thought it was good to kind of hold her feet to the fire with that. But I totally understand why Heather wouldn't talk about it. Like Whitney said, it was like Stockholm syndrome. Like, they were living in fear of Jen and she didn't want to make her life worse. And yeah, I thought it was all handled really well and that it's a really interesting phenomenon. But I think people are having a hard time understanding Heather's motivation because it seems so foreign to most people.
I understand Heather's motivation. What I don't understand is why she couldn't just tell us exactly what motion happened. Like, did Jen actually punch her? Was it clearly an accident?
I don't think she remembers.
Okay.
I do believe that they were so wasted that it's like spotty and that all she remembers is that, like, I don't know how, but Jen did this to me. But they all talked about like Jen getting physical with people. And we saw her, I think even in season one, remember there was a fight in Vegas where she shoved someone out of the way.
I think she shoved Heather. Heather Whitney.
And so I could see them getting drunk and getting into a stupid argument about something dumb like shoes. And next thing you know, like fucking Heather or Jen clocks her, you know? So
I can see that too. The only part that makes me pause about Heather is when she was on Watch What Happens Live after the third episode of the reunion, she said that Jen was happy that we got rid of Monica or something to that degree. Why are you still in communication with anyone that has any communication with Jen Shah? Why do you care what Jen Shah thinks of anything? Like, why? And I know the Stockholm syndrome part, but you, like, come on. You have to have some sort of discipline.
If I was anyone on that show, I would never say the name Jen Shah ever again. I wouldn't want to talk about it. I wouldn't want to bring it up. I wouldn't want anyone associated with her. I would try to distance myself from that woman as much as humanly possible. And yeah, I'm with you. That seems. Did Jen like post something saying like, I'm glad we got rid of Monica? Like, was it public or did it seem like Heather?
But Jen can't post. Heather. She doesn't have access to social media in prison. So it's like, I don't know how she's, if it's her, if it's like her people. It's not her, right?
Yeah.
So it's going to be like her people.
Who posted that thing about like, it's not true, I gave her a black eye and I'm going to sue, remember?
She can't have access to her account. So the Bravo docket ladies were like, there is literally no way in that prison for her to get access to that. So it's somebody else on her behalf. Now, is she being relayed information and telling them what to post? Maybe. Right. But
yeah,
I don't think it's Coach Shah. I think it's that one guy. I can't remember his name, but he's the guy who was involved in like the taking of the green clutch that one year. And he also is the one that picked Jen Shah up from Beauty Lab and Laser when the feds were after her. So that dude.
I could entirely see her calling and being like, post on the Instagram.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Jen Shah. It's so weird, though, that we're still being, like, haunted by Jen Shah. And I wonder, I'm not saying I wonder because I think it's going to be bad, but I'm curious what a entirely Jen Shah free season of Salt Lake will look like.
I don't think it's possible yet, because I do think that Heather's like story next season is going to be unpacking the trauma of like the Stockholm syndrome, or I think it should be, because yeah. It's something that is a recurring pattern in her life, where she, with like the Mormon church, and she was told to ignore all of your instincts, you know, shove them down, don't ask questions. And so this is something that, like, for the first time in her life, she's supposed to get in touch with her intuition and listen to it. And I don't know that she's ever done that in her entire life. Well,
no, you're absolutely right. And I don't know how any of these women, especially Heather, who seemed closest with Jen Shah, can trust anyone again when Jen Shah was pulling a fraud and then Monica shows up. Like, how do you even like keep going at this point? That seems nuts. If I were Heather, I would just never believe anyone again.
What I would like to hear more of, maybe not from Heather but from the others, about the kind, why they were scared of her. Like, what did she get? Okay, here's a good example. She's the one that let things out about Meredith and Seth having a separation at some point, and Meredith having relations with people outside her marriage in New York. Like, that was let out by Jen Shah. How accurate is that? If it's true, if it's not true, we don't know. But everyone accepts it as truth, and it's, like, been a huge part of Meredith's kind of what's been discussed about her. And that's just, I bet, from Meredith saying or do, it was like she was trying to get Meredith back for something. And so that's like a good example. Yeah. But she just, I think she had shit on all their kids, on their husbands, on everything. And she would let it all out. She would hold information as like over them to terrorize them. That's what I think. But I would like to have them explain it more.
Or she would just make shit up. Which is what Monica seemed to be doing to, like, Angie K, being like, she's in the Greek mafia. And then we think that. And, yeah. And, you know, what's crazy is Monica did such a great job exploiting the weaknesses in the group that everyone believed it was Meredith. I even believed it was Meredith, like, sending these fake DMs. And it was her. And I think the ultimate failure of Monica is what she doesn't understand is what makes these women iconic is authenticity. What makes Meredith and Heather and Lisa Barlow legends is that they can't help but be themselves. Monica showed up and thought, if I play a character, I'm going to win. And then she couldn't play the character. And when the character was gone, she had nothing but you're old, you're fat, you want to be on the show real bad. And that's why you can't fake the funk as a housewife. Like, you just need to be Lisa Barlow. You can't act like Lisa Barlow. Does that make sense?
It makes a lot of sense to me. I just don't think she knows who she is, because she has all these different personalities. Agree. Like, when she's filming herself stalking Jen Shah, she's kind of creepy. She's like, oh my God, we've got the binoculars, you know? Like, and then when she's angry, she's just like shouting terrible things. And then when she gets defeated, she's like catatonic.
Yeah. Shuts off. Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Girl, that mother did a number on her. Let me tell you.
I know. And when she's talking about breaking the cycle, I'm like, no, it's your kids that are going to break the cycle. You clearly have not done that.
Yeah. Have you ever watched the show Couples Therapy?
No, but I've heard about it.
Couples Therapy is amazing. And it's like they take couples and they go to a therapist's office, but you can't see any of the cameras. So it's like all hidden. So you just feel like you're in a doctor's office, and they get like free therapy for like 3 to 6 months, and they film it all and then they show it. And of course they're picking like kind of extreme people, but it's really good because it's really like talking about, oh, I'm mad because you said you were going to take the trash out and you didn't. You know what I mean? It's like real life argument. I want Monica and that mother to go on couples therapy so bad. That's like the only thing I want to see from them is like them really getting into the mess of their fucked up personality disorders. I think would be fascinating.
Because both of them tell themselves that what they've done is okay, that there was no other choice than to do with whatever they did. You know, like her mom has told her it's okay. Like the mom is telling the mom self, it's okay that I left Monica with a family and pursued my dreams in New York City. It's okay. I had a dream.
Right.
I was in my right to do that.
Right.
And Monica does the same
thing. I had to do what was best for me. I was trying to help my daughter.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Right?
And then Monica tells herself, like, it's okay that I, you know, went on the show and that I kind of, I don't understand how you have four children and you have time to drive 45 minutes out of the way to stalk someone. Like, that is crazy.
Absolutely.
Like, how do you keep up?
Well, and how do you have four children and you're working for Jen Shah for free to get on the show?
I think that was back when she was married.
That might be true.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Monica does not add up to me, but she is a fascinating character.
She is. You know who else is a bit of a fascinating character to me? If you're ready to go into Beverly Hills. Crystal.
Yes. Let's talk about Crystal.
Crystal has all of these like insults in her head and doesn't share them, I think.
Yes.
And then when she's poked, she punches back in a way that we have not seen, in a way that seems not fully in line with her personality, but clearly is. And talking about her social media presence this week, the stuff that she's posted about Dorit, she clearly was pissed off that Dorit called her a child bride. And
dude, fucking Karen Kemsley cannot get out of her own way. I mean, like, that was an unforced error, if ever there was one. You know, but also, it's like, that's exactly what we're talking about, Dorit. You know what I mean? And I don't get why she doesn't understand why you can't say these things about that, or how those things hit differently about Crystal than about Kyle. And also Kyle was 5 years younger and had a baby before Crystal got married. So, but you never call Kyle a child bride. So, you know, maybe you want to interrogate those things, Dorit.
I know.
Sorry. I sidetracked away from Crystal.
No, but I agree. I mean, we all tell jokes, right? Like Jeff Epstein always makes jokes about like, if someone has a child under 30, he literally calls them teen mom. Because, like, you know, this day and age, if you live in certain cities and if you, like, work in a certain industry, you don't have kids till later. And so it's funny when you say, oh, my God, she was 28. She's like a teen mom. You know, you're saying that in jest with people that are your friends. But to call someone a child bride who's not your friend, you're making a dig. And this woman also happens to be Asian and married to like a Jewish man. Like, it's just who's older. It's just gross. But Crystal.
And also, like, who cares how young she was when she married this dude? Like, Dorit's going to get mad at a gold digger? I mean, come on.
Right. And you're right. She did marry rich. But she's created this empire of coconut water that is worth, I think, $20 billion at least. That company.
Wait, Crystal has?
Yes, Crystal's coconut water company that she started with her brother and a friend is in Costco and a bunch of other on Amazon. It's huge. It's the second largest coconut water company in the world.
How do we never hear about this?
Coconut water company. They never showed it about her. And that was like something that came up after the first season. There was an interview that she did when they asked, is there anything that you're upset or a part of your life you feel wasn't shown? And she said, as a businesswoman. They wanted to focus on as a socialite, but not me as a businesswoman for whatever reason.
Well, because I knew she had this company, but because we never heard of it, I was like, oh, it must just be some like stupid little thing she's doing, like Diana's neuro drinks or whatever the fuck. But
No, it's legit. Oh, and she posted about it this week. And a ton of people in the comments were like, wait, I drink this. I get this at Costco. I had no idea this was yours. I didn't remember the name of the company either. I knew she had one. But the people being like, no, I drink this regularly. Like, that's crazy.
You know what? I was thinking about Crystal the other day, and, you know, I was kind of saying, like, girl, we've given her three seasons, and, like, she hasn't done anything, and blah, 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 blah. Know what? I would still rather have Crystal doing nothing on my television screen than Teddy Mellencamp doing something.
Fair. Fair. I think there's something about Teddy's personality that just rubs people the wrong way. She talks as if she knows what she's talking about with everything. I don't think she means to. I just think it's her voice. You know, I don't think she means to be annoying. I think she's probably a very nice person. People who hang out with her say she's lovely. She went to high school with Shep. They're the same age. Fun fact.
That's insane.
Isn't that?
That is super insane. I can imagine. I can only imagine that class reunion at BravoCon. That must be like...
But Crystal, I feel like she's always doing something because whatever she does irks the other women. Like, there's something about her that irks even like Garcelle, right? Garcelle's friends with her, but she is like, oh my God, she's such a millennial. She's, you know, she thinks she knows everything. She thinks she's smarter than everyone. Do you believe, Anne-Marie, that Crystal said that the women were uneducated and what was the other word she used?
Shallow?
Shallow. Shallow and uneducated.
Okay. First of all, I do think Crystal thinks she's better than the other women, which like, but Larsa Pippen thinks she's better than all those women. So like, since when does that disqualify you from being a housewife or a good person or whatever? Second of all, when Crystal started on the cast, her and Dorit and Sutton were the only three with college degrees. So she is, in fact, more educated than a majority of the cast. And still now, her, Sutton, Dorit, and Anne-Marie are the only four with college degrees. So I guess she is technically better educated. But I don't think she thinks she's smarter than them, but I do think she thinks she's better than them. Does that make sense?
But like, maybe like, she is. I think she, I'm like, maybe she is better. But I don't know. You know?
But I think that's why she kind of stays above the fray. Cause she's like, oh, these bitches. But I wish that, but what was really interesting to me was that conversation she had with Rob earlier in the season where he's like, we know you have a lot of opinions. Like, why don't you share them? And we see that when she does podcasts, when she's on social media, like she's so much better than she is on screen. I just want her to bring that like social media podcast Crystal to TV Crystal because I enjoy her and I like her and I want her to stick around. And I am glad, I don't think Anne-Marie is making her relevant, but Anne-Marie is making her show up a little bit more. And I appreciate that someone is finally making Crystal do something.
Yeah.
Crystal has finally clocked in and I'm here for it.
Me too. What do you make of Anne-Marie and how she's come in as a housewife? I mean, it's hard to watch someone take like loss after loss after loss and still think they're winning.
Absolutely. I just don't get what she's trying to do. She's like accusing them of lying, but she's lying themselves. Then she's saying, I also believe she said she was an anesthesiologist when she wasn't. And I also loved how the American Society of Anesthesiologists like trolled her on their Instagram account and being like, here's the difference between. But it's so crazy. This is like Anne-Marie in a nutshell to me is she's like, Crystal is jealous of me because she wanted to go to medical school and didn't. But so she's jealous of me, a person who also didn't go to medical school.
I know.
Like, it's just like, that's what's so, it doesn't make any sense. It's so dumb. And it's so like thirsty and so, like she's just showed up picking fights for no reason. She hasn't tried to make friends with any of these people. I don't get it.
What's also interesting is they say that Crystal thinks she's better than them, but then Anne-Marie is telling Sutton, well, I get to wake up tomorrow and I have my wonderful kids and my amazing husband, and at least I'm not lonely and insecure. Like, I'm better than you because I'm married to a alleged rapist and I have three children with that man, you know, and yeah. He's a former NFL player and you're all jealous that I have this relationship and you're alone, you know, like that's, she thinks she's better.
She totally thinks she's better. And that's what drives me crazy, is that she's just doing all the things she's accusing everyone else of doing. Oh my God. She's such a flop. Why does she have a diamond? Why is she not a friend of, like, this makes no sense to me.
Because they,
I like Eden Sassoon more than I like Anne-Marie.
Same. I feel like Anne-Marie, they filmed her as a housewife and they thought, because it does seem like she's trying to make friends with Garcelle and that Garcelle is really giving her a chance, because in this, you know, episode, and they're traveling in Spain, they're hanging out together, they're, you know, getting dressed together, they're chit-chatting together. I think Garcelle is really trying. And I think Anne-Marie probably is a little bit, too. And I don't know.
Yeah.
I can't tell if she's trying or not trying. But she just seems to be like someone who can't read the room ever, which usually makes a really good housewife, right? Usually we love people who can't read the room. Lisa Barlow has never read a room in her life. And she's insane to watch. But Anne-Marie does it in a way that's just annoying.
Yeah, because it seems like she's coming to play housewives, but she's coming with like bullshit. You know, it's like when Denise came back with that bullshit argument with Erica, and it was like, really? This is like what you're coming after us with? Like, come on.
Let's
like,
talk
get
about
it together, Anne-Marie.
I'm just kidding. I feel
like Garcelle must be seething about Anne-Marie, because I bet she has recommended them like a bunch of black women that they haven't picked up on the show, and then they pick up Anne-Marie and Garcelle's like, you finally give me another black girl and you give me this fucking lame ass bitch who I don't even like fuck you.
I would feel
like,
that way too.
Yeah And like, and I do think that the show needs more diversity, and when I was doing the book, I was talking about, like, it was right when Garcelle had gotten cast, because it was a few years ago. And I was talking to a scholar who said, yeah, it's great to have one black woman on the cast, but you really need two so they can talk to each other about like their experience on this thing, like as black people, or else they're just like, you know, a black person in this world of whiteness. And yeah, I'm just sad that the person we finally got was Anne-Marie, who we all fucking cannot stand. Like, I wish that there was somebody who would come with Garcelle and be like, yeah, Dorit, here's why you're fucking wrong.
Well,
and
but what about
Anne-Marie's not going to do that.
Was it last season or was it the season before? What's Will Smith's ex-wife? She flopped
the
too.
Other Sheree.
Yeah, she wasn't good either.
She flopped too. No, but she was like barely on. Like, they're giving Anne-Marie like the full court press, you know?
Well, I think they thought it would be a good fit, and it clearly is not a good fit.
No, it is not a good fit. But so this is like 2 years in a row where they've wildly miscast. We got fucking Diana Liplickia Jenkins. And now... Yeah.
Okay.
Can we talk about like a person Brian Moylan pet peeve quickly?
Yes.
Which is like, in, you know, I have lots of conversations about housewives, both professionally and otherwise. And I love talking about housewives. Don't get me wrong. That's why it's my job. And, but like, as I talk to people about, you know, what's going on, they're like, oh my God, should they reboot all of Beverly Hills? Should they reboot all of Potomac? Should they? And so it's like, now that they did it with New York, that it's like that they did like the nuclear option with New York, fans want them to do it to everyone. Oh, totally recast Beverly Hills. Why? It's like super highly rated. You have a lot of great characters. Like, we don't need to fire everybody. Like, once everyone's been on for decades and is like problematically racist and drive the ratings into the ground and do all sorts of other shit like Ramona and those guys did, we don't need to do the nuclear option, guys. So let's stop it with the like, do we need a total reboot on XYZ city? Because we don't.
I agree. I think.
Except maybe Atlanta.
Atlanta. I was thinking Atlanta. But I mean, you could reboot around Candy and Kenya. You could like bring on their actual friends. People that are like in their circle. But I don't know. I understand with Atlanta. I just think in general, I'm not one to call for a housewife like firing just because I don't like the way that they behave. It's only if they don't fit in the group dynamic, because I view this as an ensemble cast. And if they don't work in the ensemble because either there's someone that's too close to being like them or they're not showing up authentically, they're trying to hide things from the camera. You know, I actually think Robin... I don't know, like with Potomac, it's just if you're going to hide shit, I don't know if this is the right medium for you.
I'm with you. I don't like to call for a housewife to be fired, but Robin should have been fired for hiding that shit, first of all. But either Robin and Giselle or Candace also needs to be fired if no one's going to get over their bullshit. It's like you either need to get over this shit and stop talking about it and like get on to new skirmishes next season, because it's like they're running the show into the ground with. And it was so weird the last episode where it's like Robin and Candace are literally talking about like, you're on a reality show, you should be doing XYZ. And it was so, it didn't seem like Housewives. It seemed like some like Twitter nonsense. I don't know. Like, Potomac is in a tough spot at the moment, I think.
Me too. I've gotten a, like not a little bit of pushback, but my view is I would rather Housewives not be on social media. I would rather them barely post anything. And when we watch the show, it's all new, right? And any interactions that they have with each other, yes, if they hang out off camera, they hang out off camera. But if something relevant happened off camera, you bring it up. Now, where I feel like we were robbed is that Candace got very angry at Robin, and rather than getting to witness her be angry with Robin on camera, all she did was bring it to social media live. And all of us who are big Bravo fans who are on social media are like, ooh, we're like live watching what's going on. But I actually don't like when that happens. Save it for the camera.
Agree.
Save it for the camera. If you cannot control yourself and stop yourself from tweeting things, then maybe you don't deserve to be on a platform where you have to keep certain secrets ahead of airing. Like the fact that no one on Salt Lake let out, Andy said, like this should be a lesson for other housewives, that not to leak what happens at the end, not to share things with like bloggers and Instagram, you know, housewives Instagram burner accounts and all that shit. Like, I'm tired of it. I love Candace, but she needs to rein it in. I don't want to hear all of her thoughts outside of the show.
Well, and I think that, well, first of all, they do have what is called the Kelly Clause, which is named after Kelly Dodd. And if the women go after their castmates on social media, they can get fined for it. So there's that.
Oh, wow.
But which, girl, Candace has got to be paying through the nose. But also what drives me crazy about Candace is she goes on these rants on Twitter and thinks that because she said it on Twitter and not on television, it shouldn't count for Robin to be mad about. You know, and that's what Robin's saying, is like, you went on fucking social media and told all these people I should be fired and whatever. And but now you don't want to be held accountable for that, but you want to hold me accountable for something I did like on my podcast. You know, like, I don't know. I'm with Robin on this. Like, yeah, if you're going to talk shit on Twitter, then you need to be held accountable for it. Or Yeah. Or like you said, don't talk shit on Twitter and then see if you talk shit to Robin's face, because she wouldn't talk that shit to Robin's face.
It's also better to see someone not in the heat of the moment, but to have thought through what they're angry about and articulate that. That is more interesting to me. Just like when we saw Heather's anger towards Monica, she had time to cultivate her anger and to think through what she really was upset about, what point she wanted to make. When Candace goes, she just spews filth. And do I agree with her and what she was saying about Robin? Yes, I agreed with her, but it's messing up the show to share it on every platform other than the show itself. We haven't even seen, how many episodes are we in? Episode 10 or something of the season? We've never seen them talk to each other.
Right. And that's the thing, is you're doing exactly the thing you accused Robin of doing, which is keeping things from the show. You're keeping it from the show by putting it on Twitter.
I agree.
Yeah. I like Candace's performance. I think she's a good housewife, but I find her deeply frustrating, and how she turns everything into something about herself is like, how no matter what they do, it's like, oh, but you talk shit about Chris. Oh, but you talk shit about, you know, and it's like, you have to give it up, sister. We're sick of listening to this.
I know. I think if she's also not good at making arguments in without insulting and, you know, so when she went after Giselle, if she had just focused on the fact, like, you insinuated that my husband tried to sexually assault you. That's these words. That's how people take them. That is very damaging to say. And it discredits people who actually are just uncomfortable. You went farther than saying you were uncomfortable. You started describing other things that made it seem like people could draw their own conclusions. But instead, she said, you and your dwindling uterus. And after that, nothing else matters. You don't go after a woman with fibroids as if that's the problem. Her fibroids are not causing this. Leave them out of it. Yes. Leave her uterus out of it. Leave her neck out of it. It's just...
Yes.
Just... get your point across, because you are in the right.
That, I call it Brandy Glanville disease, where it's like Brandy, to bring it back to Brandy, Brandy was always right. Like the Richard sisters were terrible to her, you know, and she, Brandy was always right in an argument, but she'd be like, you fucking cunt. And then it's like, as soon as you call somebody a fucking cunt, like, you've lost the rest of the argument. You know what I mean? And it's like, yeah, you're right. Candace is right, but she loses all of that rightness with those attacks. And like, yeah, I totally agree with you. And it's like, yeah, reads are cute and funny, but like Phaedra reading Kenya Moore about the like sperm donor is like so great, because it's like, I don't need to pick on your face or your age or your how you look or your clothes. I'm going to pick on your character. I'm going to pick on your behavior. And that's like so much deeper and so much more revealing than being like, you have a fat neck, you know?
I agree. I think Candace needs to get her shit together, and she needs to come prepared at this reunion, not to like get back at everyone for the season before, but to make her points without just insulting everyone. Like, it's in a way that's not always funny. It's not funny to me. I'm not laughing.
But the problem is, there are so many people on Twitter being like, yes, work bitch, you're iconic. Oh, not today, next. And it's like, ooh, those are the same people that want Monica to stay, that really want to watch Bad Girls Club.
There are certain people that, you know, really that we love need the to, toxicity like... of Housewives, but the toxicity is what ruins a lot of it, too. I mean, it makes Candace 100%. Is a less happy person. She's not happy with where she's at. She's frustrated, you know? But the thing that I don't understand is BravoCon was, you know, after the season was filmed. And I thought they had the best panel of all the panels at BravoCon was Potomac.
100%.
Yeah. We're sitting next because, to each other.
Yeah. And it was because they brought the show to the panel. And it started with Karen Huger being like, Robin should have been fired. You know, and like, but like, Rob, like, I'm cool with that because you said it at BravoCon, like on the record, like at the panel. You know what I mean? You weren't like tweeting it on Twitter.
Right.
And like, yeah, you were being like, but I have a pet theory about Candace, which is that I think Candace is sick of being on the show, but she knows she needs it. Like, Candace wants to be a famous singer and she's not famous enough, so she still has to do the show. I have another theory that about Potomac, which is we see everybody talking about how much Juan seems to hate Robin. And I don't think Juan hates Robin. I think Juan hates the show. And I think that Juan hates that Robin needs to stay on the show to keep the family afloat. And that's what I think you see. You don't see Juan being like, I hate Robin. You see Juan being like, I hate this fucking show. Why don't you get off of it? And but she won't. And I don't think that she can. And I think that puts when women start needing the show more than they want to be on the show, that is usually a very bad position performance wise, I think.
You're right. It works best when they don't really need the show and they're just sort of there for shits and giggles. Honestly,
Sutton.
Jessel.
Sutton does Sutton, not need that show.
Yes, you're right.
Yeah. Doesn't need it. Kyle doesn't need it. Like, yeah. Diana Jenkins didn't need it. And I thought she would be good, but she wasn't. She was terrible. But yeah, it's like when they need to be there, that desperation is not, especially when they need to be there and they don't want to be, then it's like.
Oh. I have one exception to this, which is Erica Jane.
Okay.
She needs to be on the show. She has nothing else now, but she's making it work for her.
She is. Yeah. Well, because she said, I can't get fired from this job. What do I need to do this season to make sure I stay? And, you know, she's bringing people around slowly. She's getting more involved in the drama. Because before the Tom stuff, she was starting to fade into the background a bit. She was at the end of the couch. You know what I mean? And now she's like back in it. And I think she's having a great season because, yeah, it was. But I think she needs it and she wants it. Like, I think she wants to make things. Yeah. Whereas Candace needs it, but doesn't want it. And I think that's the difference between the two.
As someone who knows Erica in real life, do you believe that when she's hanging out with Sutton, that she actually enjoys it? Because she looks like she's enjoying it. Do you believe she's showing up authentically this season? Is this the real her?
Absolutely. And I think that the Erica I knew, and I mean, I spent most of my time with Erica before the Tom stuff, but the Erica I knew was like a fun hang and she liked being around people. And, you know, she could be kind of reserved and kind of icy and, you know, all the things they say about her. But she also, yeah, like she doesn't fake the funk and she doesn't really suffer fools. And so if she was annoyed by Sutton, she'd be like, fuck this bitch. So I do think that she is enjoying her time with Sutton. It's funny that when you think about Beverly Hills, a lot of the women on the show haven't been there that long. I mean, the longest serving are Kyle and Erica and
Dorit.
Yeah, that seems like, and Dorit. Yeah, Dorit came on the season after
Erica.
Erica. Ugh. I think it might be Dorit's time to sail away.
But I feel like something big is going to go on in her life and we're going to want to witness it.
And do you think that big thing has something to do with finances?
I do. And I believe it has to do with PK also. Like the fact that they basically were separated at BravoCon. We heard this. It doesn't come out of nowhere, right? It's like a rumor, but not really. People are like, no, he's literally living at a hotel. So allegedly. So I want to know the real story. Like, what happened after filming? Did they actually separate? Are they back together? What is she angry about? What does she think about the rumors that maybe he set up the robbery? to get an insurance payout? Like, does that make her question who he is? Have they ever talked about that? You know, is she mad that she paid off his tax lien and then he went ahead and did it again and got himself in a mess? I mean, let's talk about the actual shit going on in your life.
Yeah. And know what? I don't miss Lisa Rinna, but I do miss that Lisa Rinna would like bring this shit around. And so like this season, no one wants to talk about how Kyle may or may not be a lesbian. And Sutton's kind of like, something might. And it's like classic Beverly Hills where it's like, I don't want to say it because I don't want to be held accountable for it, but I'm just going to hint around it. And it's like, no, I want Lisa Rinna to be like, Kyle, are you fucking that country singer or not? And no one will do that. And no one will be like, Dorit, what the fuck is going on with you and PK? And yeah, but I will say I went on Bitch Sesh years ago and said I heard that PK was living in London.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I was perpetuating a rumor that wasn't true, which I probably shouldn't have done. And I yell at housewives about it, blah, blah, blah. But I've just been waiting. I have a long memory and I'm waiting for the day when I can say, I fucking told you. I'm going to Alison Dubois, you motherfuckers. And I'm going to be like, see, should have listened to me.
Do you really think Kyle and Morgan are together? I'm like one of the only people who's like still not sure about it.
I don't think that they're boning, but I think Kyle is fully in love with her.
Okay. That makes more sense to me. I don't think it's like this like well-established relationship, right? I think they have like a deep connection. And it's thrown everything off in Kyle's life to find that connection because she's never had that kind of connection before.
Agree. And I think that she might have had it with Maurizio, but no longer does. And so Morgan is giving her everything she wasn't getting. And I think she's having, my kids are grown up. It's like she's been a mother since she was 19. She's finally about to have all the kids gone. Her husband's gone. She seems also to be rethinking the show for the first time ever, maybe. And I just think Morgan is scratching all those itches, but I don't think that they're like boning.
Okay, so this is what I've been saying. Like, I think that Morgan sort of not replaced, but took the place of Loreen, her friend that died. Came in shortly before that happened. And then she kind of filled that close relationship that Kyle had. And Morgan happens to be a lesbian. Now, people have all these theories like, oh, Kyle doesn't get her nails, like long nails anymore. She doesn't do acrylics. She like all these things. But I don't know. She also weightlifts. She wasn't weightlifting before. There's so many I don't know. And I don't I don't want to out her, but we'll see what happens. I do believe that most of the stuff that was going on with PK and Dorit financially wasn't known to the rest of the cast until filming was over. I think when questions started happening was really actually around BravoCon. So I actually think if everyone is back next year, that Sutton will be the one asking all the questions about the finances and that Crystal will join her in that.
But see, Sutton is too squirrely. She even had to have Garcelle be like, she means about her marriage.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what drives me crazy about Sutton. It's like, if you want to bring this shit, Sutton, which fine, but bring it. Don't do this like half-ass mealy mouth, like, I don't know, something seems off. Like, fuck you, girl. Like if you're going to get into it, get into it. No, and that's what I liked about Lisa Rinna is like, if Lisa Rinna was going to get into it, she was showing up with both barrels. And like, yeah, that's what I want from our Sutton. And I finally realized this episode that I thought I hated Sutton, and I actually don't. I actually like Sutton. I hate how Sutton plays Housewives. And like, I bet if you went out to dinner with Sutton, you would have a great time. I bet she has crazy stories. I bet she's a fun time. I bet she asks you a lot of questions. I bet she's really, you know, inquisitive. And I think that's all great, but I don't like how she shows up in the group.
But Kyle kind of shows up the same way. Kyle will go, like, will, like, lead you to the water, but won't take a drink. and like step behind and act like she didn't do any of it. I find that kind of annoying too.
Absolutely. But at least she said to Sutton, like, girl, you don't eat. You know what I mean? Like, when it came time for it. Yeah. But you're right. Kyle is, well, and that's why I think, like, you know, Kyle had that thing where she was like, oh, yeah, I think I want to move to Colorado and be outside. That's what I love. But to me, the real red flag is Kyle doesn't seem to be producing this season. You know what I mean? Where she's always at the dinner, like, oh, Dorit, what did you say about Lisa? Oh, you know what I mean? Like, you always see her stirring the pot and trying to get the storylines coming. And she's like, when they were at that dinner, she was like, girl, I just wanted them to go fight about it somewhere else. Whereas the old Kyle would have been the one being like, oh, Anne Marie, what did you tell me about Crystal? You know?
Right. You're right. I think she might be growing out of it. I mean, I know Portia's getting older, but she still's only 15. And I feel like everyone keeps overlooking this. And I was asking last week, Aliza Rosen, who the hell is watching Portia? I mean, her dad is out gallivanting with 25-year-old TikTok stars. You know, her mom is with Morgan Wade in, like, Aspen all the time. Who the hell is watching
Portia? At Kemosabe, spending hundreds of thousands of dollars. Yes. Doesn't one of the older sisters live there? The oldest of Maurizio's daughters?
Oh,
doesn't she live at home?
So she's being raised by her sister?
Well, I mean, she's 15. You know what I mean? Like,
I don't know.
She's
That's
fairly
not
capable.
Old enough to, like, not have parents around ever.
No, you're absolutely right. I know a girl in Portia's class at where she goes to school in Los Angeles. She's a daughter of a friend of my husband's, and we had dinner at their house, and I was like, let me grill you about a 15 year old girl, sorry, which was probably slightly unethical of me, but I'm keeping all the gossip to myself, people. No more Dorit and PK, you know, I'm gonna be quiet about it. But I mean, yeah, you're right.
This isn't appropriate. Like, you guys still have a duty to raise your kid and to be there for your kid. And maybe it's, I don't know, it's giving me sort of like how Bronwyn is like, used to always show these pictures of her. I've stopped following her, I think, because I couldn't stand her.
Oh my God.
But she was traveling all the time and always with her girlfriend. And people are like, what are you, where are the seven kids? Or like whichever ones are still under 18. It just feels maybe unrealistic. I don't know. I mean, it just feels weird to me. How do you actually?
I also feel like Kyle is what, and this is, I've seen this happen with my husband's older. And so his friends are older and their kids are, you know, slightly older. And with a lot of them, especially the rich ones, they have these nannies and that, you know, they have worked for the family for so long. And so when the kids are older, they like still employ the nannies because they can't be like, she's a part of our family. We're just going to fire her because we don't need her anymore. So maybe they have like an old nanny that like takes care of Portia.
See that? And like we see all the, we see Crystal's like house manager. We see all the people that work for Sutton. You would think that if there was a ton of staff at Kyle and Mauricio's house that we would see that. Anyways, that's just like, so I just find it so bizarre.
What I'm hearing from you, Mandy, is should we call CPS on the rich kids?
Never getting to CPS. But I'm sure that someone's with her, but I feel like maybe they're not spending enough time with her. I'm worried about that because if I was 15 years old and my dad was like all over Instagram and TikTok, like drowning people, women in champagne who are very scantily clad, I would be embarrassed. Right? Like 15-year-olds are already embarrassed of their parents, but that is beyond inappropriate. And then my mom is hanging out with someone that's closer in age to me than to her.
Yeah.
Like, and that's weird for a kid.
And
from that
Kyle was going, no, absolutely. And Kyle was going on this business trip to Spain, didn't even tell her husband. So who made sure that someone was going to be home with Portia?
That's literally what I'm saying. Like, that's crazy to me. Yeah. Like, are they just, I mean, I'm sure they're making sure someone's there. But if I were Portia, I would feel like I got the short end of the stick, that all my sisters were raised in a house with two parents,
yes,
that they held it together. And then it got to me and they couldn't hold it together anymore. And then rather than having a separation that's like clear and figuring out who has custody on which days, they just both like gallivant on private jets all over the world with much younger people and don't seem to pay a whole lot of attention to me.
When I was a teenager and my parents would go out of town like for the weekend or business or whatever, we would go stay at my aunt's house. But like, you can't have Kim Richards over to watch Portia. I mean, what the fuck?
I actually would trust Kim at this point. Like,
yeah, fair enough. Kim's just going to come over and give her an art class on the fucking walls. Faye Resnick does not want Kim spending the night with her fucking markers
that's
drawn
true.
All over the
that's
house.
That's true. Or like Kathy. You know, it's
oh
just,
my God.
That'd be a nightmare.
Yeah. I mean, Paris doesn't even trust Kathy. Like, how? Yeah.
It's dark.
Anyway.
It's dark.
Anyway.
Anyway, thank you so much for being on this podcast. I love having you on. It's always so fun to discuss everything. It was so fun hanging out in Vegas. I can't wait to do it again. Tell everyone where they can find you, where they can get your book, if you have any fun projects coming up that you want to plug, or where they can get the Housewives Institute bulletin if they are not already signed up. Maybe they're living with their head in the sand.
You can sign up for the Housewives Institute bulletin at vulture.com/housewives. We just got a ringing endorsement from Lisa Barr Legend herself.
Amazing.
Saying that we
love
are
that.
The best newsletter and the shadiest. And I was like, yes, bitch, it's true. So yeah. And then you can find me on all social media platforms at Brian J. Moylan. I'm currently recapping Miami and Beverly Hills, about to be Vanderpump Rules and Summer House on vulture.com. Those go up right after the episodes air. And you can buy my book, The Housewives, : The Real Story Behind the Real Housewives, everywhere books are sold. I believe it's free on like Spotify, the audiobook.
Do you want to tell people that it's free? You want them to pay. Pay.
I mean,
support
pay,
your writers.
But also like, yeah, or just go listen to me fucking talking your ear off for like 9 hours. Like, whatever, girl. At this point, I don't care. I do have some fun projects coming up, but nothing we can announce quite yet, but I think you're all going to be really into them. So they are Housewives related. So
love that.
Yay.
Okay. Thank you so much, Brian. We'll have to have you back.
Oh, I would love it.